1. Hey, folks, welcome to the Vamp Podcast. I'm Mike Lafferty, and here we are with Mr. Shane Hensley from Pinnacle Entertainment. How you doing, sir?
Howdy, doing great.
All right. You know, your voice sounds exactly the way I thought it would when I first picked up Deadlands all those years ago.
I have a voice made for pictures.
All right. Shane is the fellow behind, is it fair to say you're the guy behind Deadlands, behind Savage Worlds, and behind everything kind of encompassed there?
It is.
All right, cool. Oh, hey, we've been joined by a last-minute co-host, Brandon Powers. Hey, Brandon.
What's going on, everybody?
We were just introducing the audience to Mr. Shane Hensley.
Howdy, howdy. Nice to meet you.
And as part of the audiovisual landscape that we like to provide here at the Banff Podcast, I'm going to play the Deadlands Kickstarter video. So,
get your popcorn.
They had me at the first whistle.
Was that you whistling there, Shane?
Oh, I would. I whistle okay. Simon Lucas is a fantastic whistle.
You guys always have the best art.
Getting better and better every year. Here's where it really starts to kick ass.
That was pretty cool, I gotta say.
It's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And congratulations
for all of our videos. And he takes the art from all the different guys, puts it together, puts the music in there, which we get from one of the, you know, the many online places that provide it. It's not original, but you know, we spend a lot of time picking through it and finding the right stuff, or Cheyenne does, and just thrilled with it. Beautiful. Gets my blood pumping.
Shane, Brandon's going to hold up our first edition copy of Deadlands for you.
I saw that.
We still have ours. I was like, did Robert take
that? Is that in shrink wrap?
No.
That's just, we kept it. We
nice
keep our books
back
in, very good.
That's in very good condition.
It's giant, we keep our books in good condition. Fantastic. But yes, we've had it since the 90s.
Wow.
Like I said, we're fans.
That's awesome.
And Doomtown.
Yep.
Well, hey, Walt, if I recall correctly, you have some questions. So let me let you lead off.
I always have some questions. So we see in a lot of the promotional material and stuff that people are talking about, you guys are moving away from like the grand, huge, sweeping epic that was Deadlands from before and going to more of a small town feel. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So we're actually doing a little bit of both. We went so hot and heavy into the Servitor stuff for the last few years that you know, we think we've covered the meta plot and the backstory pretty well for a while. So we wanted to get back to the roots, which is actually where it all started, with you know, kind of, here's a county and it has a fear level, and you run around that county and you fight different monsters and you solve mysteries and you know, pick on bad guys and all that and lower the fear level. And we just hadn't really made that iconic in a long time. So with this edition, we decided to get back to that. And we'll still tell the big story that's going on, which right now is focused on the Cackler and what he's doing in a place called Knight's Ferry. But, you know, we'll get to that in due time. And in the meantime, we're going to focus on these little places.
Right on. The Servitor stuff was always so like huge and epic. So it'll be nice to have that like small town horror feel. What do you think about like the suede mechanics that will kind of move things along as far as like kind of capturing that horror feel in a small town?
I don't know that suede in particular is going to help cover the fear aspects of the small town stuff. But I tell you what, it sure is great in play. I mean, just the support rules, the test rules, being able to do things like the quick encounters, just having a lot of things cleaned up, especially in the edges and hindrances, is a really big deal. And in our play tests, I mean, it's just, I got to tell you, it's just so much better than it was. And I thought it was pretty good before. So, you know, we're pretty happy there. I think probably the biggest change in Deadlands that's going to help with the fear is you don't just get your rank as grit anymore. You have to actually put some effort into it and buy edges to counter the fear level effects. So the players who do that are going to have an easier time handling it than the ones who decide to put all their edges into, you know, combat and stuff, which is a fine choice. But, you know, at the start of each combat, expect to fail a few fear tests if that's your route.
Nice. And seeing as I don't want to hog everything, guys, if you guys have questions too, jump in, because Alice doesn't look like she has any questions at all.
I'm just excited about this. That's all. I'll let Brandon go first because Brandon's a big Wild West fan. I'll be honest. I am not a Wild West genre fan. That is not my go-to, but I play Deadlands. So I play Deadlands and I play Weird West and such like that. But that is
actually far more common than you might think.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, intentionally, right from the start, you know, we kind of think of it as a horror fantasy mm-hmm. set in a Western environment, right? I mean, all yep. the Western tropes are there, right? And you can play yeah. as a straight Western, and I do all the time. But, you know, this is interesting. I'll quickly diverge here. But a lot of times when we go talk to Hollywood, for example, right, about, you know, the computer games, movies, TV shows, all that kind of stuff, one of the things that they're concerned about is, well, it's just the West. Everything's, you know, kind of dark and dreary and all that. So, well, not our West. You know, not only do we do all the crazy stuff with the monsters and hucksters and mad scientists and all this kind of stuff, but we also have places like the City of Gloom and Lost Angels and these big fantastic places, right, that really, I think, kind of appeal to that core fantasy gamer in all of us. And I think that is a big part of Deadland's success. So, you know, yes, cowboys and zombies are the foundation for it, but we really expanded and added to that afterwards, and I think that's what keeps people coming back. It does me.
I always say that I don't play Wild West, and I'm not a fan of Wild West, but I am a fan of Weird West, which is what Deadlands is. It's Weird West, yeah. That and Shadows of Brimstone and similar things. You've got, you know, very different elements. You've got modern, you've got fantasy, and you've got cowboys, Indians, and zombies, but it's smashed up in a very different way. You know, it's got a little bit of Cthulhu, a little bit of this and that. And so I love Weird West. I don't like Wild West, and therefore I play Deadlands.
Cool.
So I'm sitting here, you know, fangirling over here out of my mini games, and you saw me at first edition.
Makes me very happy. Right from the start, we've been just thrilled because I, you know, my wife plays. We always play. My friends' wives played right from the start, so we always had, you know, about 50% male to female at the table, and I've just been thrilled through the years that, you know, both genders, all genders, seem to love it and enjoy it. So that's great.
Awesome.
As to the Hollywood thing, you know, I mean, you've got Book of Eli, which is this huge success. You've got Aliens, which is this huge success. Deadlands is just like, let's take those two and jam them together. The grittiness of, you know, Book of Eli, things like that, and that awesome, you know, story of fighting against hordes of monsters that are going to come at you. And that's something that I love. Alice mentioned Shadows of Brimstone, which is something that maybe we're not got all of it at this point. They might have come out with a thing or two, but we've spent way too much money getting our fix of that. And, you know, Deadlands is the same thing, is that when somebody says, oh, I like this, what's something else that I can do? We're like Deadlands. Or if somebody's like, I like Deadlands, what's another game that I can do? We're like Shadows of Brimstone. Try that one out if this sounds interesting, because there's such a beautiful crossover between the two.
Book of Eli and Aliens is the strangest elevator pitch I've heard for it. But Walking Dead and Deadwood.
That works too, yes.
I can see that. Game of Thrones. So by my clock, we have about 20 minutes left. We should probably do the obligatory stuff and talk about the Deadlands Kickstarter running right now. We'll have a link in our show notes, or if you just search for Deadlands Kickstarter, it comes up. You guys are wildly successful right now. Looks like you're up above 200K. And 15 days left to go. Initial buy-in PDF level is 25, so that's nice and accessible. I had one question on Reddit. Someone was asking if there was going to be a cheaper soft cover option for the rule book, because 45 was nope. That's it. Okay,
cool. All hardcovers.
All right, understood. Had another Reddit question from Steel Draco. Couple questions for Shane. If money and funding the right team are no object, what's your dream project for Deadlands in terms of TV, movie, video game, or something else?
Well, some of these things may be in the works. But, you know, we've had a lot of deals with Hollywood go right to green light. And, you know, where are they? They still don't happen, right? So we're working on those things all the time. My dream would be for a TV show, especially, would be maybe be an animated show where, you know, an adult animated show, right? Where you can really show everything. You don't have to worry about the budget when you need to show the city of Los Angeles or have a Mojave Rattler pop up out of the dirt or any of that kind of stuff. I think that could be really cool. It would be heavy on style for me, you know, really spaghetti, a lot of long looks into people's, you know, close up on their eyes and scarves blowing in the wind and all that kind of stuff. Video game wise, you know, we were working on an MMO. That's why I moved to Arizona. And I'll tell you what, it had a lot of potential. It was really good. But then the bottom dropped out of the MMO market. For those who don't know, I was an executive producer on a couple of big MMOs. And I was a designer and writer for games like City of Heroes, City of Villains. Oh. So it wasn't a pipe dream. We had, you know, real money and real people. And then, unfortunately, the economy bottomed out during the high housing crisis and all of our investors went away. But
yeah, I've actually been playing cool stuff. I've actually been playing City of Heroes the last year or so since it came back. Kind of, cool. You know.
Captain Mako is me, by the way.
You were Captain Mako?
I was Captain Mako. Right. Whenever I would jump into the game as Captain Mako, I'd run around and kill people.
Well, I work on MMO and not do that. All right, that's cool. Got a few people asking what's happening in the world of Deadlands outside of North America. Are there any stories you want to tell there?
You know, we keep kind of flirting with the idea, but since we've relaunched here, we're really focused on the West again and those small little towns like we talked about. So in my personal games, Rippers is a part of the Deadlands world. We don't do that officially for various reasons, but in my games it is. So that's what's going on in the rest of the world. Look at Rippers.
All right, cool. Let's see. Got someone saying they're happy with the retcon of the surrender of the CSA. Having said that, what's the status of the former CSA states?
So it's pretty much like it is in the real world in about 1884, which is our current timeline. So the war ended in 1871 at the Battle of Washington. It was this huge steampunk thing with, you know, dirigibles and steam wagons and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, one day I would love to do like a war game or a minis game or something based on that.
Okay.
But it's over and Reconstruction is in place and Reconstruction sucks and nobody's happy. And, you know, there's just as much strife and conflict as there ever was. But we're kind of refocused on the war aspects in our game are trouble between all the different factions that still exist, like Deseret, the Sioux Nations, Coyote Confederation. There's a Cult of Grimm running around. And, of course, the Great Rail Wars are in a Cold War phase, but we'll see what happens there soon enough.
All right. Got somebody, Splash6 from Reddit, asking about the Suede Rifts Kickstarter for Atlantis, if that's on the schedule anytime soon.
So it is on the schedule. What we call a schedule, you might not call a schedule. You know, we have dates and deadlines for everybody. But even once everything is done, I have to go and take a look at it, you know, myself, go through the book, make sure that I feel it's compatible with everything else. And then since that one will definitely be on Kickstarter, we have to make sure there's a slot for it. And what that means is, you know, we can only run a couple of these a year. We don't want them to overlap too much. Hey, give me your money while you're waiting on the last two things we promised you, right? Mm-hmm. We don't like to do that. We are going to run some others on Game on Tabletop soon. You'll see it. You'll see some stuff there because we have so many things to get out. We're going to have to find another outlet, and we just don't sell to a whole lot of retailers anymore. The ones we do, we support fantastically. We have all kinds of special promotions and stuff for them. But retail's in a tough spot these days, not just because of the pandemic, but because of the board game situation. There's just so many. I don't know what it is now, but like 2 months ago, one of our distributors was telling me that there's still 50 to 60 board games being released a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds about right.
I'm sure it's not the same now, but it's a lot, right? So the stores out there just can't keep up with everything. Of course, they're going to keep D&D, Pathfinder, a couple of the big guys in. And we just don't get a lot of shelf space. So this is how we have to do it, through crowdfunding platforms, which kind of limits how many things we can put out. Makes sense. Long answer. The truth.
I still remember back in the 90s seeing Deadlands book in my local game store shelf. And, you know, that to me, seeing that at Gamescape is still an iconic image in my head. So it makes me sad that, you know, it's not found on shelves anymore because.
Well, it is on some. I mean, we have some great stores here in Arizona that stock it. But, you know, when I travel abroad, I stop in stores and they're like, yeah, we've got 3 Savage Worlds games going this year. And I look on the shelf and, you know, there's a few leftover products, right? It's just really hard. And I owned a store for on and off for 20 years. And it's just really hard to keep things stocked.
Yeah.
It's a big deal here in Denver.
Yeah, the stores that on the West Coast that I've been to late in recent years haven't had much other than D&D 5e or Pathfinder. So
yeah, Gamescape used to carry us a lot, actually.
I'm sorry, what?
Gamescape used to carry all of our stuff.
Yes, right? Yes. Yeah. Like I said, I'm really happy you remember that game store name. But yes, like I said, it was a very iconic image in my mind. Yeah. I remembered it, and yeah. So
hey, I got a guy on Reddit. Username of the Hill People asking for Shane, have the Habaneras taken over Picacho Peak yet?
Not quite yet.
Okay. All right. A couple more I just want to get out because people were.
Picacho Peak, by the way, for those who don't know, is the site of the furthest western battle of the Civil War. It's about an hour south of me. And by battle, I mean there was about 8 or 9 guys, but there were, you know, a few on each side.
Yeah, I just remember when I was living in Tucson, Picacho Peak was that hike you could take if you were feeling ambitious on a, you know. Yep. All right. Someone's asking about virtual tabletop support and if you have a preferred platform and when there'll be Deadlands support for that.
Well, our preferred platform is Fantasy Grounds. They've been great partners from the start. The learning curve is a little tough for people. So we are opening up all kinds of other options. But Fantasy Grounds has everything we do native and built in. Right, so if you can handle it, it's fantastic. We have appointed Aaron Acevedo of Sigil, who's our art director, to start putting out more stuff for all of our virtual tabletop releases, and he's been working on that. So I think you'll see a lot of stuff coming soon.
All right, cool. Good to know. All right, I think that covers that one. That might be all of them here. Hang on, just. Brandon, it seems like you're kind of biting your tongue over there. Do you have some questions you want to jump in with?
First of all, I'm wondering, obviously, like you said, I think you said it was like 74 is the current year or something like that. 84. Oh, that might 84. Do you have information for somebody who wants to run games more in the past Deadlands time period?
I mean, they certainly can. There's nothing stopping them. We did the book as if it was brand new released today, starting in the year 1884, with synopses of everything that's happened before. So you don't have to have bought a thing or know anything about Deadlands to hop in and join us now. We also made it, there's kind of a divider in the book textually between, okay, here's the world, now go play cowboys fighting zombies and monster hunters, right? And whoa, there's a lot going on in Deadlands, and there's this big backstory and all this other stuff. So you can kind of gate that as you wish for your group. If you wanted to play in, you know, the Servitor plot point campaigns, for example, all the rules are here for you, so you can do that. And those take place from about 1880 through 83, I think. And then, of course, you know, the original game started in 76. You could play any of that, but I don't know. Nothing would stop you. But no, it's not written that way.
Gotcha. I know that throughout the years, a number, and for me, my Deadlands, like Alice was mentioning, first edition and stuff. So I'm back then with a lot of the information I have. I don't know everything that's gone on since then. But you had all sorts of different ways that you can make a character that, you know, you've got the hucksters, the mad scientists, the risen or whatever the revenants. Harrowed, there we go, and a bunch of others. Is there support in this product for all those classic types of characters?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Is it going to be a big box like Flash Gordon and such was?
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's loaded with stuff. And now we've unlocked an entire free book for the Kickstarter that you get, The Companion, which has all this kind of non-core stuff in it, like Voodooists, and we'll see what else goes in there, but there's a lot.
That is awesome. I mean, looking through, like you guys were commenting during the video, the art is absolutely beautiful and really evocative. I grew up watching Westerns with my grandfather, and it's something that we always bonded over. And so Deadlands was something that, you know, Alice and I played a little bit back in the day. It was much more, we were in the Doomtown group, and we had a friend who even was in the Great Rail Wars that, you know, loved that. And so we've been exposed to it, and it's one that excites me a lot. What are the differences between regular Savage Worlds and Deadlands? What kind of things, other than that horror mechanic that you were talking about?
That's probably the big one in all the Deadlands lines is the fear level, which impacts your fear test, which is a really big deal. And we've kind of gone back and forth on that in previous editions of how we've handled it. So, you know, we like what we're doing here, where you have to put some effort into countering it. Really, though, the difference is, you know, Savage Worlds is a rule set. Deadlands is a world and a setting and all the adventures and character types that you just mentioned that go with it. So, you know, we think of Savage Worlds as just the engine. Right. This is the car. This is the chassis and all the bells and whistles. And this is the best version of that we've ever made.
Hey, I got a couple of questions off of Facebook just real fast. Then we only have like 5 minutes left from Nate Casino on the official Savage Worlds Facebook page. Will popcorn be a delicacy like they made it on the Wild Cards podcast? I have no idea what he's talking about.
I don't either. Sorry.
All right.
Cool. I like popcorn.
All right. Who doesn't like popcorn? Communists. That's who. All right. And from, I am sorry, Balazs. I cannot pronounce your name, and that is my failing. But his question is, will future supplements box sets cover bigger regions like the Northwest or more smaller counties similar to Headstone Hill?
We're actually planning on both. So we'll see how Headstone Hill does. We're really excited about it. Our hope is to do a couple more of those in the future. We'll never say how fast because, you know, we're 2.5 full-time people, as well as books that cover whatever they need to cover. So like the City of Gloom is definitely going to be a book in the near future, right? Cause it hasn't been updated since 99 or so. I'm hoping that we're able to do more Headstone Hill type boxes, but again, we'll see how it does once it's out there.
Okay. And, his second question, any chance of a Rippers reboot?
Well, you know, the Rippers Resurrected isn't that old, and we did do the free conversion sheet out there, and there's not that much you really need to convert. So, yes, at some point, but it's not something we're working on now.
Okay, and final question from the lovely fellow whose name I've been able to pronounce, Deadlands Noir. Any info about those plans?
Same thing. Deadlands Noir and Hell on Earth both will get relaunched in the next year or so. We're not sure if we'll do those before or after Deadlands Dark Ages comes out. What is Deadlands Dark Ages, you say? Well, that's where all this started. That's where you'll find out about the Cackler and Mordred, he is Mordred, and Morgana, and exactly what that whole deal is about and why the Morgana effect is what it is.
Ooh.
Is this a fantasy role-playing version of Deadlands we're talking about, Shane?
Well, it's the Dark Ages. Not D&D.
Forgive me for asking the obvious question. So will the hucksters have medieval tarot cards instead of 52-card booker decks?
So there are no hucksters.
Okay.
Hucksters come about much later.
Mm-hmm.
There are other things, though. So we did put out an adventure for it and some sample characters. Very early in the Savage Worlds Black Kickstarter, or Savage Worlds Adventure Edition. We call it Savage Worlds Black Forever. It was originally going to have a black cover. It's not in honor of Clint Black, although he'd like to think so. But in that set, in the adventure that you'll find, and it's on our website, it's called Sins of the Father, we have druids. There's an alchemist, which is basically our mad scientist for that era. And there's a sorcerer. And we didn't put everything in there, of course, but the big one that's really cool and I think people will dig is the Paladin. And they are knights, sort of, for the Dark Ages, who carry six shooters.
What? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So Harrow won't be in there either?
What won't be in there?
Harrowed?
Oh, they'll be in there.
Okay, because I was like, I can see why hucksters aren't based on my memory, but I don't understand why he didn't list Harrowed.
So it's actually kind of the start of the Harrowed, which is pretty interesting, I think. And there's one in the sample characters for that adventure I mentioned.
I think the phrase is take my money.
So I just had like six guys show up in the YouTube comments, and they've all got questions. You mind if I hit those with you? All right. From Brandon Verhalen, I can pronounce that name. I noticed the power cards mentioning the tricks for your Mystic Martial Arts Master, Mystic Martial Arts Chi Master. Is this a hint of what may come in the Martial Arts Companion in the future?
So the Chi Master or Key Master, however you prefer to pronounce it, in Deadlands is overhauled and revamped from all the versions that we've done before. I think anybody playing it is going to love this one 1,000 times over how we did it previously. It is part of the basis for the upcoming Martial Arts Companion. It is one of the routes that a person will be able to take.
Cool. From friend of the podcast, Ron Fraser, are there any plans for plastic minis, whether pre-painted or not?
Well, no. We're doing the Pawns, which you may have seen in the Kickstarter, and Reaper does metal miniatures for us already. Okay. Plastic ones wouldn't make sense for us.
All right. A fellow named Starlaw, he's really excited. Can't wait for Dark Ages. Is there going to be a Pioneer archetype?
A Pioneer archetype. I don't think I've seen a Pioneer in the ones we have in the set or the potential stretch goals.
All right.
But cool. There's all kinds of, let's say no.
All right. And final question, right? Oh, wait. Someone else just popped in. I spoke too soon. But a gentleman named Tyler Childers is asking, will there be a connection to Deadlands proper connected to the Weird Wars?
No.
Okay. No. And but Ronnie, go ahead, sir.
I cheat on that one too, you know, in my home campaigns. So the Twilight Legion runs through all of our settings, if anybody's paid attention to that. It doesn't mean that they're the same world, right? Because in Weird War II, for example, well, even this is before this version of Deadlands, but you know, the Confederacy did not take part in World War II, right? And it didn't in our previous version of World War II. We don't have that now. If we did a Weird War II in Deadlands, it would be Deadlands Weird War II, and we're not planning to do that. But so officially, no. But I mean, a lot of the stuff in there draws on the same basic ideas that come screaming out of my brain. So.
All right. And I know we're at time, but just one last question from the YouTube crowd. Mr. Ronnie Walton is asking, Shane, are you willing to share more on what we'll see in the Deadlands archetype cards?
Hi, Ronnie. I love Ronnie. He's a great guy. No, let's let him be revealed as stretch goals. That will make people more excited, I think. But you'll see him.
All right. All right. Cool. A little bit of tease. Everyone loves that. Okay. Well, hey, any questions from Brandon or Alice? I see Walt is. Hey, Walt, you're back too. Any questions from you guys before we wrap things up here?
Nope, I'm pretty happy.
Just, you know, hey, do you want to come on to Babies with Knives and run for us? But we can talk about that afterwards.
Just wanted to say thank you very much for coming on. We're all huge fans. It's really cool to have, like, you know, the creators on to actually, you know, get some of the meat on the matter. So really, really appreciate it. Thank you very much, sir.
You're most welcome. And I'm a fan, too. I'm a fan of the game. And, you know, I created a bunch of it, but a whole bunch of people added to it afterwards and have created things, you know, far beyond what I could have come up with. So I get to kind of sit back sometimes, too, and really just enjoy it and play in the world like everybody else. So I get it. I'm with you. I'm a fan of this and many other things. And I appreciate that. Hey, buddy.
He's saying hi to you.
Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. And Brandon on YouTube says, thanks for being here and always talking to the community, Shane.
Yeah, man.
And on that happy note, I think we're going to wrap things up. So to all of our viewers, thanks for checking us out. We'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.
Thanks.
Somebody's got a whistle on the way out.